Hey, it's Stephen Furtick. Thanks for joining us on the Bonus Podcast. This one's really powerful. I want to talk to you today about anxiety. This is just a very, very short podcast today, but I think you'll find it profound. We're calling it Reverse Your Anxiety, and it's taken from something that I shared with many of our leaders. I know it'll apply to everybody today. And we want to start with that place of your imagination. So as you listen to this today, slow down for a moment and ask yourself the question, why am I anxious? I hope this helps you. And your imagination is also where your greatest creativity comes from. So no wonder it's under attack by an enemy called anxiety. That is why the enemy attacks you in the area of your imagination. That's why you worry about things that haven't happened yet, is so that you can't work on things that God wants to happen. It's all strategic. I don't know if you believe in the devil and spiritual warfare literally. I actually believe that there is resistance that comes as we do ministry. And so I would think that the greatest place for us to protect and be very vigilant is in the area of our imagination. And you can apply this a number of ways, right? Everything begins with an imagination. Everything from the seat that you're sitting in, to the paper that I'm holding, to the Isaiah 43, 19 elevation Roanoke bracelet that I am sporting, all started in the realm of imagination. If that space is occupied by all the things that might go wrong, if that space in your heart and your soul and your spirit is occupied by things that haven't even happened and may never, you may create the result that you dread. That's called self-sabotage. They don't like me. Nobody likes me. Nobody likes me. Nobody likes me. Nobody likes me. Nobody, they just don't like me. They don't like me. They just don't like me. Nobody wants to be around me. And then they don't. But they did. But you imagine that they didn't. And you begin to act in accordance with the image of yourself that you had, and you eventually manifested what you imagined. So I have to keep my imagination free to preach. I have to keep my imagination free to lead, to be able to see a hopeful future. Even imagination. And let me get to the counterpoint of that, which is interpretation. That goes along with imagination. Interpretation is your ability to assign meaning. And this one's really fun, because this is where you can actually fight anxiety in a proactive way. Now, up until this point, I've kind of been talking correctively. This is where it gets a little fun, to where you can begin to interpret anything that happens to you however you choose to. If your framework is, I'm anointed, I need to know, are you anointed, Ferris? Shout, I'm anointed.
I'm anointed.
Everybody shout, I'm anointed.
I'm anointed.
Now say, I'm too anointed.
I'm too anointed.
To be anxious.
To be anxious.
Okay, so if that's true of my life, then I interpret everything that happens to me through the lens of knowing that I'm anointed and chosen by God. Wow. Biblical example is Joseph. It continues to reinstate the Lord's presence with Joseph throughout the book of Genesis, no matter what happened to him. That is an interpretation of events that directly contradicts the surface appearance of the events. A pit doesn't look like the presence of God. A prison doesn't look like the presence of God. The only way we can come away with the conclusion the Lord was with him is someone interpreted that after the fact, because they saw after he was in position to fulfill what God had called him to do from a very young age, that all of this, every single thing in his life, was a link in the chain that led to the point that he would be in the position to be a blessing to those who tried to betray him. That's an interpretation to say the Lord is with him. The better example, the better biblical example is Jonah. Because in the scripture it says that the Lord provided for Jonah a whale to swallow him. Do you remember when I preached about the whale and the worm? The Hebrew word is manna. Everybody say manna.
Manna.
So you've heard of manna in the Old Testament. Okay, same root word, manna. And so manna means what it is. It also means what is it? And it means what it is. And it means what is it? And it means what it is. And that's why when the Israelites saw it, they didn't know what to call it. So they said, it's manna. What is it? What it is. If you eat it, it's nourishment. If you let it sit there, it rots. This to me is the most important skill to employ to work on your anxiety and keep your imagination free, to learn to interpret events in the framework of God's favor on your life. That's a decision though, and it is a daily decision. Because sometimes we interpret things, you know, we can also take this the other way where we interpret things, you know, well, God's just, you know, how do we say it sometimes in relationships? Well, God's just pruning me right now. He's pruning me for more fruit. And in actual fact, God might be pointing to some relational, behavioral, dysfunctional patterns that have caused six people to break up with you. That's an interpretation issue. So you can either learn from that and go like, okay, it's six people in 8 months and they've all told me that I'm needy. That's an interpretation. You can say it's them, you can say it's you. But there are other times where you're interpreting things, The ability to interpret whatever happens to me in my life according to God's purpose for me is what keeps me sane. That's what gives me the ability to just kind of go through things and name them later. That's what gives me it had to happen. I decided to see it that way. So I decided. So Jonah is in the mouth of a whale, the belly of a large fish, and the Bible says that God provided the fish. But then it says that God provided a worm to eat the leaf of the plant that covered his head, and it's the same word, manah. What helped me was to realize that the book of Jonah was not written by Jonah while the plant was being eaten by the worm. It was written later with the perspective of the purpose of what Jonah went through, and when the writer looked back on it, he said, it was all provision. Yes. That's an interpretation.
Yes.
I believe Jonah went back into Nineveh. I believe that the plant was eaten so he would have to get back in there for shade because he would have sat outside the gate pouting the whole time. That's why I called the sermon, What About the Worm? Because you interpret the worm, the inconvenience, the thing that you didn't want to happen. You don't call it manah when it's chewing through your leaf. Nobody does. So wait a little while and figure out why the leaf got chewed up. And then you'll say, my God has supplied all my needs according to his glorious riches. Not according to my understanding. Because your Father in heaven knows what you need. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? The pagans run after these things. And your Father knows you have need of them. So to call it provision is honoring to my Father. To call painful things provision, to interpret. The country preachers always said that the rest of the Israelites looked at Goliath and said, he's too big to kill. And David looked at him and said, what? He's too big to miss. Give me my slingshot. Isn't it? Country preachers get it right sometimes. Now listen, what I'm trying to tell you about this is there are thousands of inputs from day to day. Who said what to you? What opportunity you didn't get? How things were received? How things went over? What was happening right now? And what it all means. Let me liberate you. What it means is up to me. Because the pit is just a pit that I died in if I died there. The prison is just a prison that I become bitter in if I get bitter there. This is interpretation. And that's why you come to hear me preach, because you can read the Bible yourself. But what opens it up to you is that I have devoted the time to look at the text and say, okay, let me interpret this. This is what was happening culturally. This is what it means to say that David was from the, and this is what the anointing means, and this is what the sheep and the nostrils and the fingers and the nostrils. And it makes you stop and think, and it's not just poetry anymore, because I have learned how to interpret the Bible. Have you learned to interpret your life? Or do you just take things at surface level? You never see rejection the same again if you hear what I'm saying to you. You will not stress as much. You'll still hurt, and you'll still wonder. And yes, you will still have some sleepless nights, and some thoughts will still pop in your mind, but you won't bang your head into a rock, and you won't bleed to death. and you won't grow weary.
Yeah.
And you won't have dislocated knees lying down on the side of the path. This is going to be a game changer for some of you.
Yes.
Because I didn't just tell you don't be anxious. I'm telling you why you've been that way.
Yeah.
Maybe it's what I'm making things mean. Right?
Good.
How do you interpret silence? How do you interpret no? How do you interpret wait? How do you interpret feedback?
Wow.
How do you interpret criticism?
Wow.
Because if you take it as this personal attack on you, you will be anxious. It will be you versus the world. But Kendrick taught me something, Tim. Kendrick taught me something. Because Tupac said, it's me versus the world. And Kendrick said, I used to think it was me versus the world till I found it's me versus me. And what's making me anxious is not situations, it's my interpretation of it. I'd like to give you 5 minutes right now, and I'd like you to find somebody with a bigger problem than you that's handling it better. I'm not gonna do that, but I'd like to, because it would blow all of your theories about why you're stressed out of the water. Because you think you're anxious because I'm not as smart as everybody else, and you'd find somebody in here who didn't even graduate high school. And you think it's because, you know, you got bills and somebody else is in the room with cancer. And you think it's because your kids are small and you meet somebody else in the room who is trying to have a kid and hasn't been able to have one. And you'd realize it's all about how I interpret what's happening to me. So my imagination, when I play out scenarios, I want to learn, watch this. Are you good at worrying? Anybody good at worrying? Anybody good at worrying? Okay, I got good news. That same skill set that makes you a great worrier is going to make you a great worshiper. Because it's just really reversing the cycle. Because it's like that same ability that you have to just let it completely flow and spiral out of control until you're all alone homeless. That same thing that can get you there until you die alone with no one around you. When you get it going the other direction, when your head is anointed with oil, when you realize that there's a crown of favor on your head, that in every season of your life, when you realize that there is oil on you, that the oil of God is on you, and that you are selected, when that gets reversed, now you will begin to play things out in the other direction. Now if God is with me, this must mean that there is something in this for. If God is with me, this must be something that I need. Well, if you enjoyed today's podcast, there are a couple things I'd love for you to do. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. You can also help us reach others by investing today at elevationchurch.org/give. And thanks again for joining us on the Elevation Podcast.